Do you think that you are known by God? And what does it mean to be known by God anyway? We heard God tell Jeremiah that God had known him before he was in his mother's womb, when he was utterly and entirely unknown or even unexpected by his own mother. God knew Jeremiah then. And God knew that he wanted Jeremiah to speak the words that God would give him. Is that experience of being known by God singular to Jeremiah? Or is it true for all of us? Does God merely know those he singled out to be prophets? Or does God know each of us and single each of us out for his purposes? It seems to me that the latter is true. That God has known each of us, even before our physical conception, and that God has a plan for each one of us. God's plan for our lives may not be self-evident. Only one person in history has actually been given a burning bush. And even Moses had to turn aside from what he was doing and pay attention to the bush that was burning and was not consumed, and the voice of God directing him. Jeremiah really didn't appreciate what God revealed to him. He wasn't impressed when God told him that he had known Jeremiah before anyone else had. Jeremiah basically retorted, "God, you're wrong. You don't know me. You say you want me to be a prophet to the nations, and I'm only a boy, and I cannot speak." And God could have said to Jeremiah, "What part of 'I am God, and I said I have known you since before you were born' did you not get?" But God didn't say that. God assures the insecure Jeremiah and reminds Jeremiah that he will not let Jeremiah down, that God will be with him all the way. And eventually Jeremiah's crippling fear dissipates and he moves out of the safety and security that he thought he had and follows the direction of God. But what does it really mean to be known by God? Is being known by God something we actually want? I think the collect for purity that we pray at the opening of our service each time we come together speaks to what it means to be known by God. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Here we acknowledge that through no effort, and perhaps even in spite of our best efforts, we can hide nothing from God. God knows our hearts, our desires, and our deepest secrets. He knows our fears and our yearnings, our wounds, and our defense mechanisms. In our prayer for purity, we acknowledge that we are known by God, and we ask that God cleanse those things that we need to have cleansed, our thoughts, our hearts, and our secrets. What a perfect way to present ourselves to God when we come together for worship. We lay it all out. We say, "God, you know us. You know us all together, and you know us individually. You know our thoughts, good and bad. You know our hearts, good and bad. You know our desires, good and bad. Please cleanse us all together and individually." We have a hard time making ourselves clean and right, but you can make us clean and right in your eyes. So please inspire us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your cleansing spirit so that we can stand before you in worship as those who are clean, not through our own efforts, but through your gracious goodness. This prayer, this collect for purity, is not a new prayer at all. It can be traced back as far as the 11th century. For much of Christian history, this prayer was said privately by priests only, and God knows we need it. Thankfully, though, in the prayer book of 1552, this prayer was made public. For the last 550 years, all people gather in prayer and begin worship by acknowledging our transparency before God. We give voice to the reality that all we do and think and desire, our most secret thoughts and dreams, both good and bad, are known to God. And we ask God to inspire, to put breath in us, the breath of His Holy Spirit, to set us straight, to make us right and good, because we know that on our own we fall short. Many of you are aware that I've embarked on a self-guided study of history of women's rights and women's roles in the church and in the Western world. My interest was initially sparked by the recent public discussions about women's access to birth control. I wondered if perhaps there was a pattern in history that allowed women more freedom in times of relative stability, and then in times of great uncertainty or world change, if women's rights were then reined in, or if previously held rights were removed during times of great change and upheaval. Did the fear that is driving our current scene occur around the time of the invention of the printing press, or during the Industrial Revolution, or World War II? Is this a cycle, as so much else seems to be in history? Suffice it to say, my interest has led to many wanderings down many tracks, some fruitful and some not, except to fill my head with all sorts of trivial and fascinating knowledge. And the reason that I'm even mentioning this in this context is that through my reading, I have been perplexed and bothered to discover time and again how quick we are to condemn those we don't know, those who don't conform to our norms. I've also been jolted by how easily average run-of-the-mill people are swayed by group hysteria and the fear of things that can't be controlled or are unknown. Ignorance may be bliss, but it also fuels the fire of hatred that can lead to violence. A common theme that has run through my reading is one that was totally unexpected, and that is the theme of evil, specifically witches, their trials and executions. The way that countless women have been accused and executed with no sound evidence whatsoever is baffling. To my knowledge, no one has been drowned or burned at the stake for being a witch in Alabama for a very long time, or maybe not ever. But people were drowned and burned and hung on trees for being black. And I know that we want this history to just go away. And I know that most of us here were not involved in the deliberate mistreatment of anyone, no matter their race or ethnic heritage. But the matter remains, the matter being that we are easily led astray. How could so many upstanding Germans be complicit or even active in killing millions of Jews in the middle of the 20th century? No, you and I had no role in that either. We are saddened and heartsick when we think of the atrocities that have gone before, many in the name of God. And yet we know that our hearts are not pure, and our desires are not always wholesome, and we want some secrets to be hid, and we understand that we are known to God. In God's eyes, we are revealed as we are, blemished, tainted, unclean, and impure, and yet loved nonetheless. A woman was in the temple, a woman with a demon. She was crippled over with this demon, this evil spirit. Had she been accused of having a demon later in the evolving world, she would have been burned or drowned. At the time of Jesus, she was avoided and ignored. She was an outcast, and that was as good as dead. Jesus came to the temple. He saw the woman. He knew her. He didn't know her in any contemporary sense, but he knew her as God knew her. He knew her heart, her desires. From him, those secrets were hid. And without her even asking, he healed her. The hearts of the temple leaders were known as well. Their hypocrisy and blindness were revealed, and Jesus acknowledged them as hypocrites before all who gathered for worship in the synagogue that day. God knows us from before time and forever. What do our hearts reveal to God? Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Make us whole. Remove the fear of the unknown and ignorance that beset us, and allow us to be swayed away from following you and truly being your people in your world. Amen.